Do you need answers? Is there a need for a true spiritual and prophetic encounter with God? Join Dr. Candace Smitherman and various relevant prophetic voices from around the world. Become enlightened as we walk down the true road to an authentic spiritual encounter. You will experience the glory of God with Dr. Candace and the Glory Roadshow.
What is happening right now in the spirit realms is there is a release of what has been written in the scrolls of heaven about your destiny. Where you may have had blockades and obstacles that have come against you. Over the last week or so, what the Lord is doing is he's opening up a portal to help you remember what was written about you and about your destiny. Now, why would he do this now? Why is this pertinent? It's because on the Hebrew calendar, we're in the month of Sivan. And this, of course, is the month in which the word came forth on Mount Sinai in the Torah. Fire came on the mountain. The Lord brought forth the Ten Commandments. What was written about who he is and who the people were to be, the royal priesthood, the holy nation, coming before him. He was setting them apart during this holy time. And he was calling them to the mountain. And there were days preceding that where they had to purify themselves. There was a day of distinction where they had to set themselves apart. They had to be prepared to receive what had been written so that they would be ready and willing to come into agreement that they were a holy nation and a royal priesthood. And then we know from the messianic perspective that when Yeshua came, died on the cross, shed his blood, was buried and resurrected, that he ascended, and then 10 days later, he told them, go to the upper room, because it's there that you will receive fire, which is the tongues of fire, and you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the seal of the promise, with the comforter. And so in that case, it was the word as well, coming forth from heaven. And the word coming forth in fire that they had to come into agreement and receive in that moment. And how did that manifest? It actually manifested in word. The word as in tongues that were known tongues in other languages, okay, as in there were people there that had heard other tongues, as in other nations that had been speaking, and they were speaking in their native tongue. And we know and understand this today as being the baptism by fire. And we have been given tongues of heaven or tongues of angels, right? When we receive fire, when the Lord touches us and we receive his Holy Spirit when we become born again, but when we get touched by his fire, we enter into a new place of operating and activating in our spiritual gifts and beginning to move forward. Of course, that can happen at any time. It can happen at salvation. It can happen at a later time, but it is a time where God touches us with fire and we begin to utter in other tongues and have a heavenly language. And then we seek the Lord in that heavenly language. Or as you heard tonight, there was a corporate tongue. It's a tongue that came forth. When there's corporate tongues in proper worship, corporate worship, there is an interpretation that's given. And so that is what you saw happen tonight as well. And so this is the time on the Hebrew calendar where the Lord is revealing what has been written in heaven about you. And so if over the last week or so you've entered into a place where you've been crying out to him and asking him, why have some of these things not taken place yet in my life? Lord, I've been asking. It's because God wants to mine that pain And through a positioning, okay? So many times when we enter into seasons where we're crying out to God, he's repositioning us so that we can come before him and know that he's getting ready to release something to us. And he wants us to know that it's him that's releasing it. So we'll bring us to that place of groanings and intercession so that we'll know, we'll have a knowledge and understanding that it's him that is going to release from heaven at this moment what was said. And so heaven right now is speaking the words that have been written about your life before the foundation of the world. Heaven is in agreement with what has been said about you. And in a shaking here in the earth during the month of Sivan, the Lord wants you to remember what's been written. Which is why some moments of intercession, some moments of coming to awareness of what's been happening and how come this, Lord, is taking so long? Why has this not sped up more? Why am I still coming back in prayer for this thing? See, as we begin to utter forth the answer, the questions, Lord, why? He's saying the scrolls of heaven have been written about you, just like they were written about Jesus, right? Just like Yeshua says, I have come to do your will, O Lord. This was written in the scrolls of heaven, right? There's a scroll in heaven that has your name on it, and your life has been written on it. And so with that, heaven now, this is a time and season where heaven is crying out for what has been written about you. And God wants you to come into agreement with it. He wants you to come to the table and say, what God has been written about me, I come into agreement with, and I come into agreement with the covenant that you will indeed establish that covenant and you will indeed bring it to pass. Now, why is this so important? Okay, well, when we look at the month of Sivan, we can see that it is about the written word. It is about the word coming forth in every way. It is about the people recognizing who they are, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. So a lot of this is identity. What has been written about you becomes a part of who you believe yourself to be. When we have delayed prayers, when we feel as though we keep asking over and over again about something, we're not yet seeing it happen, it makes us question who we are and it makes us question our relationship with the Lord. But God is saying now on my calendar, on my Hebrew calendar, before we approach the month of Tammuz, I want you to stand on what was written. Now, covenant is a twofold thing, okay? What I mean by that is when God says, I want to establish covenant with you, he wants to establish the covenant that was written, okay, from a nation perspective, okay, as in we are the sons and daughters of the king, and so we are in covenant with him through his shed blood. But there's also individual covenants that we make with God. It's where God calls us and sets us apart. He may say, I've anointed, appointed, called you. I've given you these spiritual gifts. I've put you in this environment. I need you to come into agreement with me and submit to me that I might use you in this place. And there's different levels to that. There's a first recognition of that, and then there's mature levels that we go through in order to come into that place of knowing who we are and who God is. So this is another level of that. So take a look at where you are now, and what God is saying is, I want you to remember the covenant commitment that you made to me in whatever that thing is. That thing is the thing of destiny over your life. The Lord says, I want you to remember that now because I'm getting ready to take you through the next 8 weeks before we enter into the month of Elul, which is going to happen in August. And then, of course, Rosh Hashanah, which is going to happen in September when we come into head of the year. But God is taking us through a journey, okay? So he says, this is who we are. I want you to stand on it. The next month, he's going to reveal to us what are some of the idols and the things that we have worshipped on our way to this destiny. What are the things that have gotten in the way? All right, that happens in Tammuz, and it happens in Av. You know, I mean, I didn't write the Hebrew calendar, but June and July are not like the happiest months on the Hebrew calendar. They're not. Every time June and July come around, I'm kind of like, do I really ought to preach a message these months? Right? And sometimes it flows into August. It just kind of depends, right? It happens to go into August. Av goes into August and doesn't switch over to Elul until August 18th. Now, Elul's a month of rebuilding the temple, which means that in order for God to rebuild a temple, he first has to tell the temple, which is you, who you are. You've got to come into covenant agreement with him. Then he's going to take you on a journey of showing you all the things that have been in the way of that so he can strip it out of you. And then he's going to rebuild you in August, so he can give you double portion at Rosh Hashanah. That's a story. Right? When you know the Hebrew calendar, you can prophesy correctly because you can be like, whoa, I know this journey. I know what's coming. Right? And so the scrolls right now are very, very important to the Lord. And the pain that you have had over unfulfilled or unrealized dreams is what God is after right now. He's after it because he wants you to become aware and go to the throne again and say, but you said, Father. But I remember the day you prophesied over me, or you called me forward, you anointed me with oil. You said to me that this would be the time that you were setting me apart to serve in your church, or to serve in marketplace ministry, or to serve in the government or education or whatever the realm is that God has called you to. And Lord, there's been these blockades and these things that have stopped it, or there's been idols that have come in. There's been areas that I wasn't quite ready for. Whatever that story is, whatever your story is, God says, come to me with it. Let us talk about it. Because I'm going to remind you what was written. Because what's very important is I'm establishing what was written with you now before I take you into Tammuz and I take you into Av. I want you to know these things. See, our God is, he's so awesome too, because he will build us up before he starts stripping us. He'll do it. Because he wants us to keep our identity in the right place as he reveals to us the things that come to kill, steal, destroy, and rob us. And that's what Tammuz is about. It's about the grief that the Jewish people have in the fact that they worshipped idols, which is what happened after they received the Ten Commandments, right? Even within 40 days, they found themselves worshiping a golden calf. And Moses came down the mountain. You see the time frame. We're about a week or so before Tammuz comes. Tammuz 17 is when they find themselves at the base of the mountain. And Moses comes down with the Ten Commandments and he breaks them. Basically, he's saying, you have broken the covenant. But they were reminded of the covenant and they were called out because of the covenant, because of the commandments. So he's calling us out now. He's saying, come and talk to me about what was written. And there's unrealized dreams in this room right now. Come on, some of you have seen visions from the time that you were small about where you would be and what you would do, and it hasn't yet come to pass. And so God says, that's what I want right now. I want you to come to me with that. Because I'm going to take you on a journey here over the next couple weeks where I'm going to help you remember. And then as you're remembering, you're going to start to make some changes. You're going to start to see some portals open that are going to shift you into some divine relationships and some divine connections. Can I have my water, dear? So we want to be ready for that. And I want to just give you some scripture tonight, because obviously all of this is scripture, but let's give you some actual scripture. So when you go home, you can go, okay, like I got it, but now I want to sit and meditate on it with the word, because that's how we really change, right? We meditate with the word. You come and you can hear a good sermon and all of it can be explained really well, but you got to go home with some meat yourself to chew on. Okay, so Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 18 through 20, we know this well, right? So the Israelites were tested in the desert, and they were tested so that God could humble them and prove them. This was in the month of Iyar, so we passed through Iyar already, okay? We passed through when they received the manna. We passed through the testing of Shabbat. When would they celebrate Shabbat? You know, as in, don't go out looking for manna on the seventh day. Take twice as much on the sixth, and then you go home and rest. These are the kind of things that happen in the month of Iyar. So the Lord was testing their hearts. He was testing them so that they would, what? So that they would know that every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord was how they were to live. So the book of Deuteronomy is Moses reminding the people before his death of what the story was, what actually happened. And he says in Deuteronomy 8:18, he says, But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers as it is today. All right? So he's saying, listen, I need you to remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth you power to get wealth. Okay, so basically what he's saying, listen, part of the pride, part of our pride in the fall of man is that everything that we do, and listen, this is primarily an unconscious response. Most of us aren't aware of the responses of where we violate this, okay? We're not. And unless you walk closely with the Lord and you come to that humble place of saying, Lord, I need you to deal with me in every area, okay? And this should be your mantra anyways. You should be living a life of God. Just deal with me. Please deal with me. I mean, like, want his discipline and want it good. Because if you want to go to the places that he's calling you to go, cry out for discipline. So basically, he's saying, listen, you all, as in me, you, all of us, we like to say that the power of our own hands has created wealth for us. Now, you might say, hey, Candace, listen, I'm not boastful about that. I never say that. You know, I always say, well, God has given me this, or God has blessed me this way, or God has done this. I'm going to take y'all somewhere. I'm going to shake your head really bad. Okay, are you ready? Because now you're going to go home and you're going to go, oh, gosh, I do that. Have you ever wanted to impress somebody? Okay, so if you want to impress somebody, it's because there's really a lack that's on the inside of you, okay? Because if you can impress somebody, then what that means is that you will be fulfilled in them being impressed. Have you ever wanted to impress yourself? No. Yes, you have. Let me tell you what that looks like, impressing yourself, okay? It is masked a lot in how we reach the goals that we have in our life. Now, goals are a good thing. I'm not here to condemn goals. Have your goals. Be motivated. Achieve all that God has put before you. But if you drive yourself crazy trying to achieve a goal and you're not happy if you don't achieve it, then therefore the person that needs to be impressed is you, because God's not impressed. Right? Now I'm taking you to a deep place. This is called the power of your own hands has created the wealth for you. See, there's nothing wrong with having a goal, but we have to keep our goals in submission to the covenants that we have with God and to the time span that it takes in order to accomplish something. So in other words, if you're very goal-oriented and you're looking at somebody who is, see, this is why I can talk freely with you. Because I talk from my own space of getting spanked. I don't ever bring a message that God hadn't already spanked me real good. So if you're very much on goal-oriented, performance-focused, got to have it done this way, you're even called a high achiever, a type A person, and the world is smacking you on the back saying, ooh, that flesh looks good. Come on, high achievers, man, their flesh looks good, right? I mean, the more money you can make, the more success you can have, the more wealth that is before you, right? That looks good to the world. Now, the Lord is truly magnified in the prosperity of his servant. So I'm not here to bust on wealth by any means. Okay? I'm trying to show you what these scriptures are saying really deeply. Is we can hide behind the power of our own hands has created this wealth by nice innuendos and nice words and saying, well, I'm a Christian, you know, I don't really believe that. You know, God gives me everything, you know. But if at night we can't sleep because we haven't done X, Y, and Z, then we're not impressing ourselves. And if we're not impressed with who we are, then we can't rest. When his word tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, which I'm going to read to you, that we're to strive and labor for his rest. That's the only thing in the word of God that we are called to strive for. You know that? So humanity, because of the fall of man, or because if you look at the life of the Israelites, because really it's their story is written to reveal to us who we are as humans. That's what it's about. God chose the Jewish people and their life to reveal who he is, but also to reveal who humanity is. So humanity would have their eyes woken up to what and who and where and when. Yes, it's true, they're the chosen people, but they're chosen to be the story that tells us about who we are. So in their life story, they're in bondages in Egypt. They're set free. They're working and toiling as a result of the fall. And now they're stuck in this terrible situation. The Lord plucks them out. Now God takes them for 40 years to get that out of them. And God's saying, listen, I'm not impressed with what you do or what you don't do. I just want you to be in a love relationship with me. And I intend to give you everything that you need. And he says, I intend to give it to you because I indeed am greater than you, and I want to show you how much I love you. So I'm going to give it to you. He's saying that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 also. He's saying the power of your own hands has created this wealth for you. He goes, I don't want you to say that. He goes, I do not want you to say that the power of your own hands has created this wealth. In other words, what he's trying to do is bring a revelation. People, you're going to do and say things even though you do not realize it, totally unconscious, and it's still flesh, that's not what I want from you. What I want from you is that you would know that I am the one that giveth you wealth in order to establish the promises or the covenant that I made with you. He's saying, so I'm inviting you to enter my rest of knowing that everything about me is about what's written. Then it comes to pass. Now hear me clearly, I'm teaching you a concept about the difference between heaven and the earth. See, if you want to see something happen in the earth, it's not how hard you work that's going to bring it to pass. Now I'm not discouraging you from hard work. I believe in hard work in every way. All right, because I believe hard work produces discipline. Discipline is necessary for a lifestyle of soul transformation. Okay, so we need to be people that are disciplined. Be motivated in your disciplines so that you can learn to strive for rest so that he can release to you what it is that he wants to release to you. Don't get all caught up in one side without seeing the other. So he says, listen, I want to establish my covenant with you. And he says, in order for me to do that, I have to increase your capacity. Because really, that's all it means in the Greek, is increasing capacity. So basically, when he says, verse 18, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth. Okay, that means he bestows without fail. It means he ordains. It means he sends out. It means he brings healing. That's what that word means. Okay, it's the word nathan. It means all of those things. He says, I giveth thee. He says, I giveth thee these things. He give you this power. Okay, power as in the capacity to shift your faith. That's really what it means. We read about wealth, we read about substance, we read about these things. It's the capacity to shift your faith to believe that I will indeed give you these things. Your capacity is increased only in the earth, only as much as your faith is increased in God. The two of them work synonymously. The greater your faith capacity, the greater the increase in the earth. Why? Because he wants us to rest. How can we rest without having a whole lot of faith? There's no way. It's because of what happened at the fall of man. The fall of man, or as we watch the Israelites' life, it's rigged to have to work and to toil in order to gain. So he has to break that and take us to a place of rest so that we will then begin to release. There's a difference between resting and releasing. We rest with the capacity of faith, and then he releases it in the earth. This is why he says, what has been written, the scrolls that have been written will now release from heaven your destiny. But I, God, want you to come into agreement with me about what's been written. This is how we enter rest. We enter rest based on what's been written. So you got to first find out what's been written. If you look at a situation and it looks bad, ask God, what's been written about that? Because what's been written is not what I see. And then he says, okay, then increase your faith capacity because I give you power to gain wealth, to establish my covenant that that person will be healed. That situation will change. Those finances will be there. So when we see lack in the earth, it's because we don't know where to access from heaven in order to bring it down. And by the way, we're not bringing it down anyways. He's releasing it. Just like Pastor Sheila said over here, she said, I see these, she didn't use the word portals. She said pipelines. She says, I see these channels, these pipelines. Okay, they're portals. They're the same thing. Channels, pipelines, portals. I see them bringing forth blessing. So in your life, when the scrolls have written a destiny, you have to be in cooperation with every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord for that destiny. But more so, you better know how to rest so he can release. See, we don't do that. We start spinning. We got a message, man. We running with this thing. Right? Right? Because it's weird to us to think he's not really going to give this to me. Like, there's just no way. But if it's been written, then it comes to pass. We just have to come into agreement with what's been written, and then therefore it will come to pass. Our struggles exist because we don't know how to rest. I'm going to talk to you about prayer just for a second. Just for a second. So there's different kinds of intercession. Right? And it's common amongst us as Christians. I got to push this blessing out. Come on. I'm going to press until the promise comes. Come on. I'm going to travail until we make this thing happen. You know what I'm talking about? Because all of us have done it. We've all pressed, pushed, travailed. You guys out there are giving as much birth as we are.
You've been watching The Glory Road with Dr. Candace Smitherman. She can be seen all over the world. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, plant a seed in the ground. You can support by going to CandaceSmitherman.com. Remember, all donations are tax deductible.